Hey, everybody. The readings for today are all about the Ascension. Christians have, for a long time, celebrated the Ascension on this date. And so we're going to look at those first at the end of Luke and then the beginning of Acts. This is Luke 24:36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. And then, of course, we have the parallel passage in the beginning of the book of Acts that also speaks of his resurrection, of his ascension. And that's an important point. The ascension is not the resurrection. The resurrection is Jesus being raised from the dead, never to die again. The ascension is when Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father and remained there until he returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. So one thing we can think of, or one way we can think about the ascension is, well, what is Jesus doing now? Well, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is waiting for the time when he will come to judge the living and the dead. So I want to highlight six things very quickly that I think should encourage us or teach us about the ascension, about Jesus, as some people call it, his session at the Father's right hand, in between the time when he was ascended to the Father and he returns. So the first thing I would say is that his ascension should stir up our faith because we commit ourselves to something that's unseen. All through Scripture, particularly in the book of Hebrews, but in other places, it says that we should fix our eyes on what is unseen, right? We put our hope, we look for that which is unseen. The fact that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father is, in a sense, more real than other things that we think are important or in our face. And so that's the first thing, that it should encourage our faith as we fix our eyes on what is unseen. The second is hope. This should give us hope because in the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father, for the first time, a human being has come into God's place. Adam and Eve were in a place that God made for them in the Garden of Eden, but Jesus took on our human nature and was raised from the dead, and now for the first time, human nature appears in God's presence, and that gives us hope of our ultimate entrance into God's presence. And so it should cultivate that sense that, man, no human has ever come into God's presence, but now Jesus has. And he has made a way. In fact, he's gone there to make a way for us to join him there. So the second thing is hope. The third thing is like unto it. One of my favorite scriptures is Colossians 3:1-3, where it says, "Set your mind on things above." So this third thing is that it directs our love to heavenly things. In that scripture, Paul says that we should set our minds on the reality that Jesus is raised from the dead at the right hand of the Father, that our lives are connected to his, in fact, hidden in his, and we are dead to the things that controlled us before. And this is not an escapism, but it is setting our affections on things that matter so that our affections are shaped by them, so that how we live here is a preview and a peek into the things that are to come. Another way of putting this is that we have access. This is one of Paul's favorite words. Formerly, we were shut out from God's presence, but now we have access through Jesus, and that can shape our affections and our desires, and we should be a people that are allowing Jesus at the right hand of the Father, being worshiped by the angels, to shape our affections, so those affections help us live differently here. The fourth thing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, it says that Jesus ascended to the Father, and once he ascended, he poured out the Holy Spirit. It also says that he says, listen, guys, I want you to wait in Jerusalem because I'm going to ascend to the Father, and then I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And remember, this was, from the beginning of Jesus' mission, one of the main goals of his mission. He is the one who is going to immerse people in the presence of God, immerse people in the reality of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus at the right hand of the Father is the one who is giving at all times the Spirit to the church. One of my favorite encouragements, this is the fifth one, is in Hebrews 7:25, it says that Jesus lives to ever intercede for us, or he ever lives to intercede for us. In other words, now an essential part of his life is to pray for his people. And so we need to imagine, it's not really imagine like make it up, but we need to let our eyes be open to the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has defeated sin and death, is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. It encourages us when somebody tells us that they're praying for us. How much more should it encourage us that Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father praying for us? That should grip our hearts with joy and faith. And the last thing that I want to draw from the ascension is that Jesus is Lord. In fact, I would suggest that that's the shortest way to proclaim the gospel. Jesus Christ is Lord. But what I mean by that is, all through Scripture, it speaks of Jesus ascending, or this place at the right hand of God, which is the place of authority. The point is that Jesus was killed, but he has been raised from the dead, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and the Father has given all authority to him. And the good news is that this Jesus that died for his enemies is the King, is the Lord. He rules and is ruling, and his kingdom will keep growing and will never end. And it is a good kingdom of life and joy and peace. And so that's the sixth thing. But maybe we should just close again with Paul's words, that we should fix our eyes on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We should set our minds on things above, for we are dead and our life is hidden with Christ in God. May we live our lives filled with that vision. May that vision capture our imaginations, and may it give us grace to walk faithfully in the Christian walk. Amen.